Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Our guest today is TJ Ellerbeck, Executive Director of the Rural Utah Project, which works in voter registration and mobilization in rural areas, among other initiatives. They tracked more than 10 pieces of legislation during the just completed session of the Utah legislature that they called anti-democracy bills. Ellerbeck said these bills would put major limits on the way Utahns can vote, the when Utahns can vote, and which Utahns can vote. We'll talk about voting and elections, technology, and other issues affecting rural Utah. And I reached TJ Ellerbeck on Wednesday last week, during the last week of the legislative session. On Access Utah today, we are talking with TJ Ellerbeck, Executive Director of the Rural Utah Project. You can find them at ruralutahproject.org. First of all, TJ Ellerbeck, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Well, I live in Salt Lake City, but I work for the Rural Utah Project, which is a small nonprofit. There are about 8 of us on our team spread out across Utah, and we do organizing work mostly on civic engagement, voter registration, and also conservation work across the state, primarily in southeastern Utah.
You've been you've done political work in the past, right? You've been political director of Utah Democratic Party for a time. I'm reading here. And you say you got your start organizing in rural Utah through the election of Representative Brad King in Carbon County.
Yep, I worked with Representative King back in 2014.
Yeah, okay. So how did you get connected with the Rural Utah Project?
Well, as you mentioned, my background is in political work. I've worked on campaigns up and down the ballot across the state, and had an opportunity to come to the Rural Utah Project in 2017 when it was first getting started, and I became its founding executive director. I was really excited at the possibility of doing work that was still very meaningful, getting people engaged in local politics and registered to vote, but less partisan. And as the world around us has become much more partisan over the last several years, it's been really great to be able to do civic engagement work that doesn't focus in a partisan space.
A little bit later in the conversation, we'll dive into some of your specific projects at Rural Utah Project. But overall, what is Rural Utah Project? What do you do?
Yeah, we do. We mostly do civic engagement work. We register hundreds or thousands of voters in any given year. We've done a lot of work on the Utah portion of the Navajo Nation, where we, alongside our voter registration work, have done an addressing program. We ran into an issue several years ago where many voters were registered in the wrong voting precincts because many people on the Navajo Nation aren't listed at what you and I might think of as a traditional address. So the county clerk's office had difficulty knowing exactly which precinct they should be in. So we used a digital technology called Plus Codes to not only get folks registered at their correct location and correct voting precinct, but also get faster access to emergency services and many other services that people with typical addresses take for granted. We have done civic engagement training, teaching people to talk to legislators and bringing them up to the state capitol from across the state, and worked on some conservation projects. We helped put a stop to some controversial proposed roadways in eastern Utah that would have destroyed a lot of indigenous cultural sites and destroyed some beautiful public land. So we've done some of that work also.
All right. We'll get back into some of those as we go along. First of all, I wanted to take a look at, now you're tracking some bills at the Utah legislature, which, as you know, ends this week, dealing with voting. Maybe overall, what is your concern on voting? Then we can dive into some specific bills.
Yeah, well, my concern is one we're seeing nationally, all across the country. Over the last several years, there have been proposals in many states to really put major restrictions on who can vote and how people can vote. We've seen some of our neighboring states, like Idaho and Arizona, pass measures to make it much harder to register and harder to get your ballot and cast a vote. And Utah has always been a major leader in this space. Utah is an all vote by mail state, which is rare in the Western U.S., even though, you know, we're much more spread out than some states that have been vote by mail for a long time. And we're also, we've always been a leader in democracy. We're the first state to elect a woman to our state legislature. And so Utah's been a little bit behind on some of these proposals, but the last 2 years or so, we've seen a lot of attempts from a small minority of members of our state legislature to try to do everything from eliminating voting by mail to making it much more difficult to get your ballot in on time and everything in between that could make it much harder to vote.
So one I know you've been looking at, now, by the way, I'm referring to a story that we published at Utah Public Radio, Alex Gonzalez's story. So House Bill 92, sponsored by Representative Kira Berkland, Republican from Morgan, which would require voters who want to vote by mail to sign up. And so she says this bill would just help clean up voter rolls and, in fact, increase active voter participation. I think you have take issue with that characterization and have a problem with the bill.
Yeah, I do. It takes Utah back in time, to around 2012 or 2014, when all or most of the state relied primarily on in-person voting. And in-person voting is great, and I know many people, including myself on occasion, prefer to vote in person. And it's great to have that option, which we all do. But voter participation in Utah has only increased election cycle over election cycle since we implemented voting by mail. Every single registered active voter gets a ballot mailed to their home. They have a chance to review it, research candidates, think about what they're going to do ahead of time. You know, you don't get surprised by the 12 constitutional amendments on the ballot or the 30 judges or whatever it is that day when you walk into the polls and see them for the first time and have no idea what to do. You have a chance to look it over, and that makes people feel much more comfortable voting. And we want to keep that system in place because it's worked for Utahns for years now.
Yeah, it was. I remember when I first voted by mail. It was, you know, a few years ago. It was a little weird. I've come to really like it a lot. There are, some who argue, these would be mostly Republicans nationally, that that vote by mail is not secure. What do you say?
I know that that's not true. It is very secure, and I know that because when proposals like this are discussed at the legislature, we've had the lieutenant governor and staff from the state elections office, including the last two elections directors, who've been up at the legislature and given evidence that it is secure. County clerks across the state will attest that it's absolutely just as secure as voting in person ever was.
Another bill that I know you mentioned in that previous interview from January was House Bill 214, which would mandate that mail-in ballots arrive at the clerk's office by election day. And I guess sponsors are saying that this would help lessen frustration on election night when we don't get the results in, right? To speed up the ballot counting process. The current rule is you just have to have it postmarked by election day, right?
Postmarked by the day before the election.
Okay.
So that Monday before the election, that's current law.
So House Bill 214, where do you stand on that?
Yeah, we're opposed to that bill also. Everyone in Utah wants election results sooner. We all know there's an occasional race where you don't know what happened exactly on election night, but I have two problems with this bill as it was introduced. And one is that state law requires that election results aren't certified until 2 weeks after the election, and this bill wouldn't have changed that. So there are still some races where we wouldn't know the exact results until maybe up to 2 weeks after the election, regardless of when ballots are returned, because those ballots can take a long time to process correctly. And personally, I'd much rather wait an extra day or two to make sure our results are accurate and correct, and not ask county clerks to, you know, stay up all night to make sure we have results the next day. But the second and bigger issue is that this would just disenfranchise a huge number of people. This bill didn't allocate any funding to inform people of the change in when your ballot needed to be returned. And it also just increases the uncertainty. You know, if you put your ballot in the mailbox, you don't know exactly how long it's going to take to be mailed to your county clerk's office. You know it'll make it there in a couple of days, but you don't know if it's going to be the next day or the next week. And so requiring people to mail their ballot a week, or in some rural parts of the state, even further ahead of time just to be safe, is sort of ridiculous. It puts the onus on the voter to have control over a system they can't control, which is the speed of the mail.
I want to read this. This is from a press release I received from a group called Honest Elections Project Action. I'll just quote this. Honest Elections Project Action applauds the Utah House of Representatives for passing legislation to end Utah's ranked choice voting pilot program. And they go on to say that their view on ranked choice voting, that in their view, it's a convoluted process that makes voting harder, disenfranchises voters, and sows doubt and distrust in elections. Do you have a position on ranked choice voting?
I was sad to see the legislature end this pilot program early, not necessarily because I think ranked choice voting is the future for all elections. Maybe it could be, but now we won't know, because we're just not proving whether it works or not. I talk to a lot of voters in my work, and I have talked to people who like ranked choice voting and people who don't like it. But I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who said that they were concerned that their vote's not being counted, or they were confused by the process. Voters are smart people, and if we're asking voters to vote in a ranked choice election, they can read the instructions and know what that means. It's not confusing, and it's not sowing doubt in our election process, certainly.
Are there other pieces of legislation you'd like to mention that affect voting in elections?
Yeah, there are a couple. There have been a lot of proposals through our legislature this year on voting. The legislative committee considered that bill we talked about, House Bill 214, that would have changed the deadline to return your ballot, and that committee rejected that bill. The other bill you mentioned that would have ended voting by mail entirely, that bill actually got completely rewritten into something else that would have essentially unregistered voters who don't vote in a 2-year period, and which is totally crazy, because in Utah there are about 500,000 people who only vote in presidential elections. While I wish every voter voted in every election, it seems excessive to unregister people just because they only vote every 4 years. But that bill was never heard in committee, and actually all of those proposals have now been sent back to the Rules Committee, and in these final days of the session they won't be considered. And I think that's because public comment on the voting bills they have talked about was heard loud and clear, especially in that hearing on House Bill 214, the postmark deadline change. And voters made it really evident to members of the legislature that they don't want their methods of voting being messed with. And our legislature heard that message, and they're not going to be considering any more bills like that this session.
So any action you'd have people take, or do we think we're doing pretty well here at the last week of the legislature?
Well, you know, anything can happen in these final days. Just because a bill goes to the back to the Rules Committee doesn't mean it won't come back out, you know, with 2 hours to spare on the final night. And bills can always be amended to do something totally different than what they were originally written to do. And so it's not over, especially since when the legislature adjourns this week, they're going to go into monthly interim meetings for most of the rest of the year and then come back into session in January of 2025. So the action I would ask people to take, if you care about these issues, if you want to make sure that our voting system stays intact the way it is, I'd ask you to sign the petition the Let Utah Vote Coalition has put together. The Let Utah Vote Coalition is a group of organizations. The Rural Utah Project is just one of many, where we're calling on the legislature to leave our voting system intact. You can sign that petition and read the whole thing at letutahvote.org.
Very good. Very good. And again, your website, ruralutahproject.org. I noticed at the bottom of your website, you have affiliated organizations. One of those is Pledge to Caucus. And I pulled that up, and I guess what they're wanting you to do is to commit that you're going to your neighborhood caucus on March 5th, this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, we're trying to ask everyone across the state to consider attending their caucus meeting on March 5th. Regardless of your political party. Both major parties in Utah are holding caucus meetings on the evening of March 5th, and this is the first step in nominating candidates. In some parts of the state, delegates will nominate a candidate, and that candidate goes essentially directly into the county commission or the legislature, since not every district is contested on election day. So attending your neighborhood caucus and being elected as a delegate for either party is the way you can have the very most influence on what our government looks like.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with T.J. Ellerbeck, Executive Director of the Rural Utah Project, talking about bills at the legislature related to voting and elections. After break, we'll get talking about other issues, things that Rural Utah Project is working on, including technology and other issues affecting rural Utah. Just to note here, this conversation was recorded during the last week of the Utah legislature. And we mentioned in that conversation several bills. Just wanted to give you the final outcomes of those bills. House Bill 92. Would have required voters who want to vote by mail to sign up. Right now, you'd get your ballot automatically. House Bill 92 appeared to have failed. That did not pass the full House and Senate. House Bill 214, another proposal, that would mandate mail-in ballots arrive at the clerk's office by election day or by the close of election day. The current law is that they just have to be postmarked by election day. And that House Bill 214 also failed, it appears. Another bill that we talked about, House Bill 290, would have ended ranked choice voting in Utah. But ranked choice voting still remains an option because House Bill 290 appears also to have failed. Just wanted to give you those updates before we headed to break. You're listening to Access Utah. If you just joined us, you're listening to Access Utah. We're talking with T.J. Ellerbeck, Executive Director of Rural Utah Project. You can find them at ruralutahproject.org. We've been talking about bills that affect voting and elections at the Utah legislature. T.J. Ellerbeck gave us a kind of a rundown there. Now we want to talk a little bit about the work that Rural Utah Project does in voting and other areas as well. I want to talk a little bit about origins of your group, and I think early on, the work in San Juan County, right, was very important. Tell me a little bit about that. This was, and I think we remember seeing this in the news. So, with redistricting in the county, reading from your website, it became possible for the first time to elect an indigenous majority county commission. That happened. But with, a voter registration effort, what happened there?
Yeah, great question. I'm actually joining you from our office in Bluff, Utah, in San Juan County, just right on the border of the Navajo Nation. And this is a part of the state where we've done a lot of work over the last 7 years. In 2018, as you mentioned, the county was redistricted by a federal court. That redistricting made the district fair, I guess you'd say, for the first time ever in the history of the county. We registered over 1,800 new voters that year, our team, and voter turnout in the 2018 election was higher than it's ever been by a huge margin in a midterm election. Like you said, the first Indigenous majority to the county commission in Utah's only Indigenous majority county was elected that year. And those numbers have continued to go up, you know, in all parts of the county. Today, there are more voters in San Juan County, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous voters, than there ever have been. And in the last election in 2022 for county commission races, the majority on the commission, whether it was an Indigenous majority or not, was only decided by 19 votes. So it's a place where every single vote counts. I mean, that's true all across the state, but those are elections that have huge impacts.
So you say voter turnout's high. So that's registering voters. I guess that's organizing work, going door to door and encouraging people to vote.
Yeah. When we talk about San Juan County, Utah specifically, I know we're not the only group in the county that's registering voters all the time, but we're one of a few, and we're registering hundreds of new voters every year. And that takes all kinds of organizing work. Education, a lot of people in Utah have never voted and don't always see the point in voting, but with the right conversation and explaining why some of these, especially local elections, can have such a huge impact on your life, people are changing their mind and registering to vote, and Utah's voter registration rates have never been higher than they are right now.
Of course, this case in San Juan County, the foundational event was this redistricting, right, ordered by a federal judge. And I don't know if you guys get into those debates, what some call redistricting, others call gerrymandering, right? And that does have a big effect on not only who wins, but voters being able to feel like their vote matters.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In San Juan County's case, I would say the county was pretty thoroughly gerrymandered. Up until 2018, the voting districts were drawn, and this is, like I said, Utah's only Indigenous majority county, but the voting districts were drawn such that there were two districts on the county commission, which is a three-member commission, two districts which were majority non-Native voters, and only one district with majority Native voters. And so every election, pretty much no matter who ran, you were going to see non-Native voters who are the majority in the county electing the candidate of their choice. And so in 2018, the federal court saw this and ordered the county to redraw. This was a really long case that started back in, I think, 2012. But ultimately, the outcome was fair districts, one non-Native majority district, one Native majority district, and one district that's split pretty close to 50-50. We didn't have anything to do with this case. Our organization is not a team of lawyers. We're a team of organizers. But we saw what was going on in San Juan County and realized that a team of organizers who are registering voters could help make sure that a community that hadn't been represented was represented. So we decided to launch a program there, and our team of mostly Indigenous organizers registered almost 2,000 voters in 2018.
You mentioned earlier in the program, I want to have you expand on this, your project to provide addresses to all homes and businesses within the Utah portion of the Navajo Nation. And this, of course, affects voting, right? Some are in the wrong precinct, and the fact of their ability to vote. Now, you might think, sitting in a city like Logan, where I'm speaking to you from, what's the problem with addresses? But there, so tell me about the problem that you were addressing, and then how'd you go about fixing it?
Yeah, great question. We noticed this problem existed in southern San Juan County in 2018 when we were doing that voter registration program I mentioned, after the county was redistricted. And this is the first time new district boundaries had been drawn in San Juan County since 1984. So those district boundaries had been the same for a very long time. But we had a huge number of voters come to us when they started getting their ballots in the mail saying, "Hey, I got my ballot, but it doesn't have the candidates who I was expecting to see. I thought I could vote in this election because that's where I live, but I had a different set of candidates." And after looking into it, we found the problem was that when you register to vote in Utah, you write your address on the voter registration form, and then you give that form to the county clerk, and an employee of the county clerk's office types your address into their system. And for almost everyone in the state, you type in that address and the system says, "Great, we know right where this voter lives, because if they live in a place like Logan or Salt Lake City or almost every other part of the whole country, the system can recognize that as an address and figure out where it is." But most people who live on the Navajo Nation have an address on their driver's license that says something like 5 miles south of Bluff or 2 miles east of post office or something like that. And if you type that into this system, then it'll pop up with a message that says, "We don't know where this voter lives. Please click on where they live." And an employee of the county clerk's office doesn't know exactly where the voter lives, of course. They can guess and click somewhere about two miles east of the post office or 5 miles south of Bluff, but that's not going to be perfect. For a long time, they'd gotten voters close enough for those precinct boundaries that were drawn in 1984 that voters were getting the correct ballots. But when those precinct boundaries were redrawn, there were hundreds of voters across the county who were actually being registered at a place usually close to, but not where they actually lived. So we needed to find some way to go back in and make sure everyone was registered to vote at the exact place they lived, which is why we launched this addressing program in 2018.
I guess the technology is Google Plus Codes.
Yes, Plus Codes. Yeah, they're a tool that was developed by Google, but it's actually open source.
Okay.
And you can read more about Plus Codes at plus.codes online. And this is a tool that uses a short code. Usually it's about 6 characters. And then a locality name to show coordinates on a map, essentially. It's a lot easier to remember than your latitude and longitude. So it's something, someone could memorize and use for everyday purposes, just like I know my address number and street name.
Yeah, it's very interesting work. And you've had, sounds like, had success there.
Yeah, we have printed signs with these codes and delivered them to every single occupied home and business on the Utah portion of the Navajo Nation over the last few years. Mm. And we've updated thousands of voter registration over the course of this program. So pretty much everyone is now registered to vote in the correct voting precinct, everyone who wants to be. And additionally, we've decided to share this information with other organizations, especially emergency medical service providers. So now in San Juan County, Utah, if you call 911 because you need an ambulance or a fire truck, you can give them that plus code and they'll know exactly what that means. That's a lot easier than trying to tell a 911 operator, "I live 5 miles south of Bluff." You might say, "Turn left, 2 miles after, the town, and turn right at the tire off the road and turn left at the tree." Now you can give a plus code and that ambulance or fire truck can find you immediately.
This affects also, I'm reading, so loans, you know, social, you're going to have a party, social activities, right? Satellite, internet, also food delivery services. I understand Chow Now was a partner in this. They want to know how to, you know, how to get the food to you through their service.
Yeah, every single thing that you use your address for, you can now pretty much use a plus code for in San Juan County. You know, if you need to apply for a student loan or a car loan, they want to know where you live. And sometimes saying 5 miles south of Bluff just wasn't enough. So now people can provide a plus code. We know a few people who have used their plus code to get satellite internet right to their home. And a lot of people are using plus codes to set gathering points. It's not just homes. Every spot on Earth has a plus code. So if you want to get some people together for a trail ride or a hike, you can text everybody the plus code and they'll meet you right exactly where you want to meet them, even if it's, you know, in the canyons or in the desert.
Yeah, amazing what technology can do. You're listening to Access Utah, and we're talking with TJ Ellerbeck, Executive Director of the Rural Utah Project. We'll have more following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. My guest today is TJ Ellerbeck, Executive Director of the Rural Utah Project, which works in voter registration and mobilization in rural areas, among other initiatives. And we're talking about voting and elections, technology, and other issues affecting rural Utah. I want to move to another technology, I guess another tool. You say on your website, by the way, talking about the Rural Utah Project, ruralutahproject.org is where to go. TJ Ellerbeck is the executive director. So working in remote areas means the problems, of course, you know, not reliable addresses, no reliable internet some places. So you've developed something called BLOP, Big List of People. What? Tell me about this.
That's an internal tool that we use for organizing. It's you know, not as life changing as using plus codes, but you know, if you're running for Congress or running for state legislature in a big city, you might get access to a voter file tool from your local party or a political vendor, and that has a lot of data on voters, and that's great for a big race like that. But we've learned that in rural communities, you know, those giant databases just aren't always good enough. Every person is unique, and you can't rely on big data to know what's going on. So that's a tool that we use to do relational organizing. We talk to members of the community, and it's a tool that helps us to know who is interested in what sort of issues or political candidates, and just helps us organize on a really personal level instead of dealing with big data like a campaign for U.S. Senate might.
Another section on your website I wanted to talk a bit about, another piece of your work, narrative shifting is the title. So you say when we tell the stories of people that live and work in the areas where we organize, we begin to shift the narrative of what it means to be a rural voter. In other words, you know, rural Utah voter is not just one monolith.
Yeah, that's exactly true. You know, Utah is a big, diverse place. Diverse means a whole lot of different things. And not every voter, especially not every voter in rural Utah, is the same as every other one. There are different parts of the state that rely on different economies. A lot of southern Utah has adopted a tourism economy. There are still places where the extraction economies are really important. And there are a lot of places that many Utahns might think of as rural. You know, if you talk about St. George to a lot of people in Salt Lake City, they'll say, "Oh, you mean rural southern Utah." St. George isn't really a rural community, not by most measures, but St. George has a lot more in common with a small town like Moab in many, many ways than they do with Salt Lake, nonetheless. Utah's a really diverse place, and we try to reflect that. We know that not every voter feels the same, and not every town is the same.
Just a few minutes left here. I want to pull back to the 30,000-foot view. I wonder if, as you talk to voters and do voter registration and organizing work in rural Utah, I wonder if this whole controversy about elections nationally has seeped in at all. In some places, starting perhaps with Mr. Trump's continuing claim that he won the 2020 election, and the kind of sowing some mistrust in elections, has any of that seeped into the voters that you talk to?
Some of it has. That's a problem that we've seen in every part of the country. There are voters in California and New York who feel like that election wasn't fair. But I think the vast majority of people, including the vast majority of Utahns, know that we can trust our elections. Our elections officials know what they're doing. They're, in a lot of cases, well, probably every case in Utah, our county clerk's offices who manage elections are understaffed and underfunded, and they have a lot to do. But we also know they do know what they're doing. Our elections are safe, and our system works. And, we have elections for a reason. Things change locally and nationally. We may have a new president or an old president at the end of this year. And if we do, that's because people are voting and it works.
Hmm. I've talked to some voters who say, hey, I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Libertarian, or whatever it is. I'm not a Republican. This is such a Republican state that I don't know if I even want to get involved. I'd feel like my vote doesn't matter. I don't know if you run into that.
Yeah, for sure. And we see that on both sides of the spectrum. We talk to people who are Democrats and say, well, I'm a Democrat, so my vote doesn't matter. But we also talk to people who are Republicans and think the same thing. Their vote doesn't matter because most of the state is going to elect a Republican anyway. And for some elections, maybe. If everyone in the state felt that way, then things would probably look different. But most of the work we do is focused on local elections. And at the city level in Utah, those elections aren't even partisan. You vote for a candidate without knowing what party they are, and maybe they don't belong to one. But even, at the county level, a lot of those elections, even if they are partisan elections, they are very close, and those are the things that affect your life usually a lot more than who the president is. So I would say anyone who thinks that way that local elections really do matter. They're the thing that has the biggest impact on your life, and party is a lot less important when it comes to local politics than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Finally, if you compare the U.S. to some other nations, Australia comes to mind. Of course, they have a carrot and stick approach that if you don't vote, you get fined, and then that money goes into a pool, and if you do vote, your name goes into a lottery. And you could quibble with that, but the voter participation is quite high there. U.S. still, lower than we would like. How do we increase voter participation?
Yeah, great question. I would love if everyone in the U.S. voted. I think our government would reflect people a lot more closely if every person who thought it didn't matter cast their ballot. I don't think it should be required by law the way it is in a place like Australia. There are problems with that as well. I totally respect people's right to not vote if that's what they choose to do. But I do think we should make voting as easy and as accessible as possible. Voting by mail is one way that's happened. We see a lot more people vote now because your ballot gets mailed to your house. You have a chance to research candidates on your own time, and you can decide who you want to vote for or if you want to vote. before, you know, it meant taping an hour or two, or in some rural parts of the state, sometimes even more time off work or out of your day to go to a polling place and then, you know, and then read your ballot and realize it's five times as long as you might have been expecting it to be. And it was a lot of work to vote, and it shouldn't be work. It should be something that everyone has access to.
We've been talking with T.J. Ellerbeck, Executive Director of Rural Utah Project. You can find that at ruralutahproject.org. Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.